Hello, my name is Peter Cinnamond, and you're very welcome to a podcast which is all about the Irish League. Where this weekend, what can I say? It was a banger. Top teams in the Championship and the Premiership failing to win. Games toing and froing, back and forward, at the bottom of the league. Everywhere else, it was goals galore, entertainment in spades. This season is shaping up to end on one mighty of a crescendo. Plenty then to sink our teeth into on this latest weekly edition of Kicking Match. Around 5 p.m. on Saturday, I had to spend just a little second to compose myself after what was a crazy 90 minutes of football from all the games that kicked off at 3 o'clock. There's so many twists, turns, potential permutations, and it all leads up to what will hopefully be a lot of great stuff to chat about on the pod. And the person to do that is editor of the Bambridge Chronicle and your reporter. It's Michael Scott.
Hello. Thanks for the big build-up.
Always. And the thing I'm hyped up the most here is this game week that we just had. First game of the split. It was just fascinating to watch. It's one of those incredible Twitter weekends where your game in front of you, whatever it might have been, there's a lot on the line, there's lots of goals going in, and then you're checking your phone going, have you seen what's going on here or there? That is what we want as a football fan. We always hope for as a football fan. We've always seen these mad end of days in the Premier League and England. I'm always a big proponent for having that window where pretty much all the games are happening. I know there's argument of having them spread across the weekend, etc. But I do like that feeling where you can log in, check out, and everything's just happening and changing, where one team is winning, now they're losing, the team is like jumping above them from winning. So again, that's the glory of the split, as long as teams have something to play for. And you'd think with Lauren and Linfield, they had so much to play for. They had that little patch between the games blowing up before 5 o'clock and then half five, where the bit was between the teeth for Linfield. We'll start with Lauren. They almost blew it, didn't they? And they lose for the first time at home this season in the league. We saw them get done, really, by Cliftonville in the semi-finals. Are they starting to creak?
I was wondering that. I don't know if they necessarily are. I suppose all teams go through a bit of a bad spell, particularly around this time of the year. The flip it the other way, Linfield probably didn't take advantage of the fact that they knew going into their game, we could be talking about Linfield being top of the league now. I watched the Lauren game, and you know they had their chances to win that match early on, but the Crews in the end proved to be just too good in the end, which seems to be a bit of a feature in recent games. That Cliftonville game you're talking about there as well, is a case in point too. It's making for a really, really tasty end of the season. It really, really is. Like you mentioned, that what was going on, you know, everywhere. I mean, we were sitting at Morven yesterday, and we couldn't keep up with what was going on. It was really, really interesting. So a lot to be played for.
All this talk of these full-time teams and the advantage they have, as we enter the last few throws of this league, even the full-time teams, you look at the games on Tuesday night, Lauren, Linfield, Cliftonville and Carrick all play, and none of them went out. And you had that weekend before where it was the top four, Lauren, Linfield, Cliftonville, and what was then Glentoran, all playing. Like, the games are coming thick and fast, and some teams did take advantage. They were fresher. They looked fresher, at least.
There's possibly also an argument that teams who have something to play for will fight a lot harder. Well, obviously, Lauren do have something to play for, you know, in their case, they're going for the league. But, I mean, Crusaders are looking for European football, guaranteed. Linfield, obviously, are trying to go for it. And it's a strange time of year. You know, there's one thing you can say for sure, and you can't, that is that you can't take anything for granted at this time.
If it wasn't for the fact that we are in the retirement tour, at least from a Crusaders point of view, for Stephen Baxter, I'm surprised by that performance from the Crews, because they would be the classic on-the-beach team. I know they have the European playoffs still to go, but to keep up that fight, they had a couple of who they hope will be their future starting 11 in the mix there. Lewis Barr, Jeb Boyd, amongst the usuals of Ben Kennedy, Leckie, and Forsyth, and all the rest. But a few weeks ago, we talked in this podcast about how Forlorn losing in the manner that they did to Cliftonville, was that a blueprint that other teams were going to use? And I think there was elements of that the Crews did do that. Now, the Crews are quite a big physical team. They enjoy playing the game in the trenches and then trying to capitalize with the balls over the top. That suited them. I saw it was really a nothing game because it was the Charity Shield last year, but the Crews did do a number on Lorne in that game at Inverpark, and I saw hallmarks of that a wee bit as well, trying to exploit the space just wide of those third centre backs. And the goal came late, but I think the Crews really did have their chances, and they get the 3 points. It's not a momentous 3 points at this time of the season, but it really does put a spanner in the works for Lorne.
Really does. And you talked there about teams coming out. Like, we had a if I don't think Larne have really had anybody come at them and had a proper go at them at home until Saturday past, or whatever. Crusaders actually went and did it. We'd give it a go in the Irish Cup for about 20 minutes, maybe slightly longer, and then the wheels fell off. And for those 20 minutes we were outstanding, and Larne didn't really know what to do, but then they got themselves together. And the rest is history, I suppose, in that one. It was good to see Larne tested, properly tested, and we'll see how they go over the remaining, what is it, 4 games now.
It's not a nice feeling for the nerves of the Lorne fans. They're out of the Irish Cup. They could have blown their lead. And there is, of course, as if it hadn't been verbalised before, there is a scenario where Lorne end the season trophyless, bar of course the County Antrim Shield, but no Irish Cup, no League Cup, maybe no league. Look, it hasn't been decided just yet, but it does show you that there's plenty on the line here. And after this season, where they up until there on Saturday, they had only lost once in the league. They went in this huge run at the start of the calendar year without conceding a goal. To not have anything from a silverware point of view to point to and go, what an epic season this is. Where if they were to do something different against Cliftonville, we don't know what's going to happen in the league. Like they could have been sitting at the end of the season historically with the double, and they also could finish it with nothing. Shows the fine lines in football.
Yeah, but I also sort of think as well, look, Larne, where they are, they're fairly new to this position of being challenging for honours. Obviously Irish League titles, talking about winning Irish Cups and stuff like that. It might stand them in good stead for next season, having that experience of, well, if it turns out this way, of course, that they don't, or they come away with nothing, it might make them hungrier for that success, and maybe they'll, look at it that way. It's all psychological. Even like for Linfield now to be 1 point behind, they're now thinking, we have a real chance here. We still have to go. We have to play Larne now. A win takes us top of the league if we keep going the way we're going. So it's all psychological, I think.
And that's what will play into this. I somewhat now hate this cliche of there's X amount of cup finals between now and the end of the season, but for both Lorne and Limfield, they will see these as high stakes games, which they are. And not to create the narrative before we get down to it, but if Lorne are to miss out on the title, and of course this game against Crusaders will likely be a key one if that was to happen, you're probably looking at Linfield as you talk about Lorne not really being used to being in this position. They were able to do it last year, but they don't have the same kind of experience of winning that you would look in that Linfield side of Shields, Mulgrew, and Miller in particular. Those are a spine of a team that know how to do it and have pretty much seen every type of game 10 times, so they're able to deal with the scenario. That doesn't matter when they're facing off. We all knew that this Lorne against Linfield game week 37 was going to be pivotal, but for Lorne it's still about getting there. They've got Cliftonville to go, they've got Coleraine still to go, which they didn't get a win against only a few weeks ago. So there's, particularly against the top side, which is what they'll face now, They are starting to wobble. Are they getting tired? Have they been found out? Do they actually have a big enough squad to do it? I know people hype up their squad, but they only throw on three subs there, and they've got a few names there, which I think we all know. Randall's great, Paul O'Neill's great, and Michael Glynn can do something out wide, but it's not the stars that you would probably think of. They're not a super team just yet, so they have to shake themselves down and reflect on this game. But there's a little niggle, I think, from a Lauren perspective on how the past month and a half has went.
Plus, I think it's the fact that in the top six, well, if not just in the top six, but now we're talking about the top six, everybody wants to beat them because they're the champions. Everybody wants to beat them. They've had a marker on their back all season.
For Linfield, they don't come out of this weekend with flying colours. A game against Glentoran is going to be different for them than any other, and they just recently, the weekend before, played them at the Oval, and I don't think Glentoran could have played any worse on Saturday compared to their game the previous week, and they started quite brightly. And for Linfield, their chances really came at the end. They really went for it. Glentoran played into themselves a wee bit more, and there was just key moments. The season is made up of hundreds, if not thousands, of moments, but there's some big ones that could have really turned the dial. And I'm looking at that header from Fitzpatrick, point blank in the box. You just know some of their top strikers are thinking you got to bury that. Hall, a defender, two big chances, thumping the ball over the bar, missing his own header going over the bar. It's still in their hands, as it is for Lorne, but they had their chance a wee bit more than Lorne. I think Linfield had their chance and they slightly fluffed their lines.
Yeah, and as I said earlier on, they would have known at half five, whenever they were kicking off that game, a win takes them top of the league, but they will be kicking themselves that they haven't done it this time around.
It was interesting this weekend because for Crusaders and Glentoran, those were the assessment was that perhaps they're the team that are going to take it a wee bit easy. And as the games go on, perhaps they will ahead of this European playoff. And you even compare it even to last season. There's Lorne right now sitting on 80 points, Linfield on 79. Last year, 83 won the league for Lorne. There was Linfield have already surpassed their total of 77 with four games to go. So it shows you actually how competitive this year has been and how much football they've played now to get here, and the high standard of play that they've had to live up to this year just to be now in this final straight of the league.
And two teams as well who were both under pressure from a big Cliftonville side this year as well for a long period. I suppose really it's only in the last couple of weeks that we can say Cliftonville are basically out of the title race now, and they deserve credit for getting themselves in that position considering the sort of, what's the word I want to use here? A certain section of the Cliftonville support didn't want Jim McGilton as manager. They've done really, really well, and he deserves credit for turning that around. It's been a really good title race. I haven't had a particular focus on Glenavon at the bottom end of the league this year, but it's been really interesting to watch, and it's really good for the league to have two or three teams, if Crusaders come back next year, maybe four teams, who can challenge for the title and gets people interested and gets people wanting to come to games. So it's great for the league.
Anything that you saw coming out of Saturday change your mind from an outsider, or at least your opinion on those teams, on where you think the title will eventually end up come the end of the season?
At the start of the season, I thought Lorne were going to, I think it was actually on here saying that I thought Lorne would be the champions. Has anything changed my mind on that? I'm probably not as convinced as what I was, but given they've got the point advantage, I'm going to stick with my call. Of course, now I've said that, Linfield will be very, very happy to hear that, and they will go and beat Lorne on the game day 37, as you said it was.
Game Day 37, I haven't thought of a silly fun name for it just yet, but it is just the weekend. It is Lorne against Linfield, it's Ballymena against Newry, it's Portadown against Dundella, as like the championship creeps its way as a bigger focus on this podcast. You had Loughall against Carrick as well, I believe, but that isn't as tasty as it potentially could have been. I think you also have maybe Cliftonville Cruise, maybe I got that wrong, but those games in
And
particular.
the big game between Glenavon and Dungannon Stress, by the
So
sounds
there
of
you go. So
it.
that could be another big one as well, and we'll get to that. For me, it shows a bit of the mentality this weekend. I know it's only one game, and I'm probably focusing on Lauren a wee bit. There were stats there coming out about how in that big run that they've been on, particularly at home, they just hadn't ever been behind pretty much at home, or that was minuscule. And that's at least what I've seen so far, is that despite that game against Crusaders being a late win for them, and both teams going for it to try and win it at the death, it was just how Lauren reacted against Cliftonville going behind, and that is something they're not used to. And I think everybody goes into every game trying not to go behind, but that's where they're going to be really tested. That will be the big overcoming moment. If there's a big spot where Lauren have to come back to get a win or secure some sort of points, that will be a bit of character development for them. But we'll look ahead to what they've got coming up just a bit later to round out our stuff in Section A, or the top half. Coleraine maintained their undefeated status since their takeover by coming back at home from 2 goals behind against Cliftonville to get it 2-2. I think this was very much a, well, pretty much all the games were impacted by Storm Kathleen, but this was a team with the wind at their back, scores two, and then swap it around, same things happen in the second half. Cliftonville look better in the first half, and then Coleraine come back, score the goals. Coleraine are very much in this holding pattern now, and they're starting to look like the team that is the freshest going into this European playoff. They have the Crews and Glentoran still to go, which we'll learn a bit more about them. Like, they've drawn 4 times in a row in the league, so they're not finishing these teams off. But I think you can see there's two different Koreans here, and they are definitely not considered Ulsterans when it comes to this playoff. They've got something to latch on to, and it could completely change things massively for them going in the next season. If they've got European money and a European place, and you can see there's changes already happening for next season, Coleraine could hit the ground running next year.
Yep, absolutely. Coleraine, not a bad outfit. The players they have, so it's no surprise that they've turned it around. They're looking good at this time of the season. The very chance of making Europe. I would actually like to see them do it, but I've always had a wee bit of a soft spot for Coleraine for some reason. Don't know why. Maybe it's just because it's a good away trip. I don't know.
They make you believe, as a Glenavon fan, you think maybe some team out of Belfast, they can do it, why can't us? Usually that breeds more frustration and rivalry in that section. But for Coleraine, a few changes in that they've now welcome in Dean Shields as their new assistant coach, or whatever it is, to Orin Kearney's back team. Interesting from my perspective, all that talk of, is Orin Kearney going to stick around next year if they're going to go full time or even partly full time? That move there, and look, things in football change all the time and people move on and all the rest. But I looked at that and I thought, oh, that's not a bad thing to have, is a member of the extended family in Dean Shields. He can look after training during the day, and then big boss man, gaffer man, Orin Kearney can come in his big coat and be, let's win tonight, boys.
It's a smart move. Whenever I saw, I sort of raised an eyebrow, but now you've sort of gone through it like that. Yeah, it does make sense.
That, by the way, this is totally theory for
Although
nothing.
I like your theory. I think it's a good theory. I don't think it would bring Dean in for any other reason other than to be a help to Orin, which is what he needs. I mean, if he wants to stay part time, they want to go into a full time setup. Well, they need somebody to do the coaching during the day. From all accounts that I've heard, Dean is a very good coach. Could help them go to the next level. So good luck to them.
It's just that family connection, which is slightly, it's humorous. Let's be fair, when you're arguing throughout it all about what's happening on the pitch, and
It would make
you're
Sunday dinner
thinking,
very interesting, wouldn't
wouldn't it
it?
absolutely? Ah, we need, I told you we need 5 at the back. See you at Easter dinner.
Pass the gravy.
So Coleraine make that move from a backroom point of view. Another big one, Lyndon Kane. I mean, he has been Mr. Korean for a while, and he's going to be sticking around. New 3-year deal, that adds a bit more stability to them. Really keeps that continuity for them as well. He's going to be right back, try this center midfield position a bit more. We don't know, but for a team that I think there'll be significant and a lot of changes coming their way, they've locked down someone who's been mooted a fair bit in the past to be moving to a full-time team, a quote-unquote bigger team, whatever you like to say. That's not the case. His big team is Korean, and he will look to be a big role moving forward for whatever this new Korean will be come next season.
For me, I think Lyndon Kane's one of the best right back. If he's not one of the best or the best, he's one of the best right backs in the league. It's hard to argue against him having, a good contract, a good 3-year contract with Korean. And as you say, stability is key whenever you're moving to one of these full-time setups. Having players who want to be there and aren't just there for the cash. Obviously the cash is good and you can get it, but if you can get somebody in who has a passion for the football club, it makes all the difference. I've always rated Reece Marshall as what was probably one of the best right backs in the league. I would say Lyndon's probably up there as well.
One quick word there for Cliftonville. We talk about Corey looking to get Europe and get all the dollary dues that comes with that. Cliftonville, they've got it now. They can sit back. It was pretty much confirmed when Glentoran left the Irish Cup, but they can sit back pretty much, enjoy it. Successful season acquired. They've gonna get that cash after not getting it last year of Europe. See what they can do going forward. That'll be very helpful for them attracting players, and overall they've done quite well last summer, even if it was late on, attracting players that can make a difference to that team. And they now pretty much can sit back and try and figure out how they're going to beat Linfield as they go through the battles. Cliftonville can tinker and try and not make it easy for either of the teams above them to win that league, because Mission Successful could even end up with an Irish Cup. Excellent.
Yeah, but I had this great fear, and this happened to us. We were in Irish Cup finals, and we were comfortable, and we knew we were going to be okay, and whatever else. That resting players isn't always a good thing. You lose maybe a bit of momentum with that. They're never or yeah, Cliftonville have been going so well recently. If you make too many changes, does that hurt you in a way?
I'm sure Reds fans will say that's great and all, but Ronan Hill is not allowed to get injured against the Crews. You know, that's.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you're going to rotate your squad, do it sparingly, and don't just completely drop the starting 11. That would be my advice. It says me who has the experience of managing the top flight, of course.
Well, interestingly, you say there about experience of being a manager. As we move into Section B, it looks to be all but confirmed now that Loughgall and Glenavon will be taking no part in the European playoffs this year. Not for anything they do on the pitch. It's once again that evil mistress off the field drama. Well, not drama really. It's because of those coaching licenses, and pretty much neither boss at Glenavon or Loughgall have them, so they're not even gonna whittle the way down. So if either Glenavon or Loughgall finish 7th, won't matter. They will just go to a 3-team European playoff, and that's how it'll just have to play out. From a Glenavon perspective, are you frustrated by this? As a league, broadly, like as a fan, are you frustrated that we're looking at another situation where off the field stuff is having an impact on stuff that's happening on it and impacting the way football plays out in the league table a bit more than you'd like it to?
From a Glenavon point of view, as a Glenavon supporter, I find it very frustrating, mostly because whenever Gary Hamilton was sacked, it was still very early in the season, and I know this line keeps being trotted out about we were 11th, our aim was to avoid relegation. However, our aim at the start of the season was to finish 7th, and I don't understand why that goal would change after what it was only 8, 9 games in the season. There was still a lot of football to be played for. So I think if you were appointing a new manager and you were thinking, right, well, we have a chance here of making Europe still, why have we not thought somewhere along the lines, like even particularly as well, never got to the point where whenever Stevie came in and we had what we've gone on that unbeaten run around just before Christmas. Why didn't somebody think we might actually qualify for Europe? So maybe we should take a look at this situation and try and sort it out. Maybe think about can we make some sort of appointment? Because I know, like, for example, Crusaders, should they qualify for Europe, Stephen Baxter's going to stay on for those European games, so they have somebody in charge who has the relevant badges. And as far as I'm aware now, it's too late for us to do anything about this. You know, we could have maybe appointed somebody to sit on the bench while Stevie takes the team, that type of thing.
Was there not talk of that for Glentoran a couple of years
There
ago
was,
with
wasn't there? Yeah.
Nixon? Was it Ronnie McFall coming in or something like that? So look, you have to get round it, I guess. But these badges are not quick to get and they're not cheap. They are thousands of pounds. And you look at Steve McDonnell, a very young manager, 31. Would he have time to do that in the middle of, I don't know, GCSEs and
It was 11 plus.
11 plus, yeah, all those things. Cliches here or there. So yeah, look, I'm sure Glenavon knew about that, and it's not nice. And this is not like the IFA or NPHL making issue here. It's just a part of the deal. And then you look at Dean Smith, who has spent years at Loughall. Again, why would he need these badges? And threw out a big chunk of change and may take months to get one of these badges as well. It's a big commitment for someone at European football. What are you even talking about? And there's a chance neither of them are even in seventh anyway, so it wouldn't matter. But as these are just some of the little stumbling blocks as we look for our league, even from the top flight and below, to be more progressive, be more professional, there is going to be these little stumbling blocks which will somewhat remind us that we still have a bit more to go, and these people involved in clubs and the people looking after things, they are not full-time people.
The other thing as well is when you mentioned the cost of it, somebody told me at the weekend that it's going to cost 10 grand to put Stevie through the pro license just to manage the year.
I've heard a similar number.
And like, that's an exceptional amount of money, you know, to a part-time football team. Like, that pays players' wages. That's going to have to come from somewhere. It's going to hit our budget.
You could buy Lee Bonus's leg for that.
You could. And we would love to have Lee Bonus's leg than having if it was possible, but I don't think it would come. To be honest, anyway, yeah. So I mean, it's a big commitment for the clubs to try and fix this money they have to find from somewhere if they want to have any ambition of playing in Europe.
Well, on Saturday, it didn't seem to have too much of an impact from what happened on the pitch as Glenavon faced off against the league's bottom side. For Newry, there was a bit of news that came out during the week, just to reflect on before we get into the game, that By Gray has stepped away momentarily from his position as manager of the club, looking after first team affairs. He's been undergoing cancer treatment, and right now he wants to focus on that solely. I know a lot of people in football have already share this sentiment. I'm sure everybody involved in football and even beyond would share the sentiment. That's a big deal. It's not nice. And everybody is wishing Barry all the best with his recovery. And now that, from a logistics point of view, if he must get into the logistics, and we will, because it's football and there's still games to be played. Now, Gavin Dykes and Dermot McVeigh, as well as the broader coaching team there, they're the ones looking after things. So I'll give it to you as well, Michael. I'm sure no one wants to see that happen to anybody, and taking time to recover, that's the most important thing at this stage for.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously we covered the story this week in the New Reporter, and of course everybody at the Reporter is thinking about Barry because we obviously have a very good relationship with him from his not just his time at Newry but also his time at Warren Point as well. He's always been very good to us. Barry's a great character in the game. It was quite clear that Newry wanted to get a result for Barry. I felt very sorry for them actually. I thought they were well worthy of at least a point. And I was talking to Gavin Dykes after the game, and he felt they were well worthy of a point too. And we had mentioned the fact that the players wanted to get a result to give Barry a bit of a lift. He was in contact with the coaching staff during the game. don't know whether he was telling them what to do or making jokes or what the crack was, or looking to know how they were getting on. But like, we always bury the best, and hopefully he's back in the game sooner rather than later.
Absolutely. Looking at things on the pitch there at Moorview Park on Saturday, 3-2 it ended, bursting Newry's bubble. This was very much one of the games where things were just bouncing back and forward between there and Mid Ulster, between stuff that was going on at Loughall, between Loughall and Ballymena, and then Newry against Glenavon. Newry did beat Glenavon at Moorview early. I mean, early on in the season. They didn't have the best start as Duna whips in a rather tidy wee free kick. Newry kept fighting back, kept pulling themselves back into the game. It might have had a big impact if you view it from just add in a goal there and the score would change. I think it would probably impact the game a bit more from what would happen if it was given. Adam Sally, penalty in the first half. It was very strongly by the referee given as a dive and a yellow card. I thought that was very harsh.
I would have to agree. Whenever I saw it happen in real time, I thought it was a penalty. I watched the replay back, and it took me 4 or 5 goes to see whether I would think the trailing leg has been caught by that Gareth Dean. For me, it's a penalty. As you say, if they score that, it's 1-1 going into the break at half time. Newry regroup. They know they're coming out for the second half with a chance of coming away with 3 points. Instead, they end up having to work a bit harder to try and get back on level terms. It was a topsy-turvy game, and we were trying to keep an eye on the press box, you know, what was going on elsewhere. It was a topsy-turvy afternoon right across the place, and at the end of it, I think Newry will feel disappointed that they haven't come away with a point. They are still living in hope that they can get something out of it. They have to play Ballymena still, where they went to win that game. It might sort of change things a wee bit, but you know, you're 5 points behind Ballymena now. It's going to be a tough ask for them now with 4 games left to go.
And of course, the reason why, as you just alluded to there, that was such a difficult result for Newry to take is that Ballymena go to Loughall and get something. A team that took 9 points off Ballymena up until this game. They go up to Lakeview Park and they get off to the dream start. 2 goals, 7 minutes. It's McMurray and Gawn, I believe, and they're in dreamland. Now, when you're in Ballymena's position, I don't even think they'd feel comfortable with a 4-goal lead going into the last 5 minutes. And unsurprisingly, Loughall came back. Great strike from former Ballymena man, Ryan Wade. Of course, an ex-player is going to score a goal like that when you're down on your luck. Then up comes the rather informed Nathaniel Ferris to score another goal. It's 2-2. But the difference is, and it's sometimes it's luck and it's big time situations. Meanwhile, Newry don't get a penalty early on in their game. Ballymena do get a penalty late on in their game. Tucker with another just nightmare at the back, the goalkeeper for Loughall, gifting a penalty then to Ballymena. It's dispatched and they claim the 3 points. Great weekend for Ballymena there. In this struggle to not finish last, and these are just the fine margins, as we always say.
Yeah, it'll be a big boost for their confidence going into the last, you know, 4 games of the season. They now have to hang on. They know that if they win, was it two of their next, if they beat, well, if they win one and beat Newry, that's it. So it puts them in a very good position at the moment.
So Ballymena are 11th, Newry are 12th, as we've said for months now. Newry on 17, 5 points now ahead of them is Ballymena with just the 4 games to go. Last week, I pretty much made the assessment with goal difference in particular. Newry do not have, they've got a lot to pull back. And even a draw at this stage, I think, pretty much gets Ballymena across the line. And you would back them to get that against either Swifts Glenavon or Carrick, you would have to say, forgetting the Newry game, where even if you give Newry those 3 points right now, are Newry gonna keep winning out? And even if they do win out, Ballymena get a draw. It's all too little too late.
That goal difference that you mentioned, you know, is basically an extra point for Ballymena, because wasn't it Newry have the worst goals conceded in Europe in top flight football or something like that?
I'm just looking here. Portadown conceded 88 last year. These are the big differences here. Portadown scored 29, Dungannon scored 28. And yeah, Nuri has conceded 86. Balamina has only conceded 65. 23 goals for Balamina, 24 for Nuri. I guess I could probably make this stat as well for Nuri, but I haven't done the mathematics. But in the first 7 minutes, Balamina, when they scored two goals, they had scored 9% of their league goals this season. And in that game against Loch Awe, including the penalty, those three goals then makes it up to 13% of their goals were scored up against Loch Awe. I think if you even add the two goals, at least I can remember them scoring against Loch Awe, I believe early on in the season, it's five goals. That's almost just below 25% of your goals this year against Loch Awe. So look,
Great Mars, but I think what we can say here is that your percentages there tell you where all the problems have been this season for those
yeah,
teams.
very much so, and that will still bleed in to this playoff. I know I've talked about it a few times this season, but they are both those sides now are they are just the biggest Dundella fans in the world because you just do not favour them. Ballymy could go on a run and that will make them feel better, and that team looked a bit more coherent there on Saturday. Fraser Taylor, McMurray, there's gone into the side now, getting that goal. So they still have a long way to go, and of course Newry could still end up in a playoff position. I think right now, like I said, it's just looking really difficult for Newry, but as we saw at the weekend, at both parts of the table, things can change significantly. Dungannon, they're safe. They were probably looking safe anyway, but their big victory against Carrick Rangers confirms it. They now have dragged themselves in to this playoff position, or at least even Glenavon. Not that Glenavon are going to get it, but we have Loch Awe from that loss. They're in 39. Carrick Rangers, they lose. They're in 38. Glenavon win. They're in 37. And now Dungannon win. They're on 35. Two nice little goals from Dillon. Dungannon Swift's rush into a 3-0 lead. They're then pegged back by Carrick Rangers, but it was all too little, too late. Weren't able to finish off the job. And when Carrick has had this nice little runway of games against the bottom six sides, even pre-split, they just continue to shoot themselves in the foot. Conceding three goals away from home, I wouldn't recommend it, Michael.
Not a great idea, no. I genuinely thought Carrick Rangers would have seventh place wrapped up by now at the start of the season. I thought they were, to me, the way they had approached the season and who they brought in, the investment they had now on board, I did think they would be seventh place, and there'll be no argument about it. And I'm surprised that we're still talking about will they, won't they for that position. I saw the goals from that game. Keelan Dillon, I thought, took his two goals really, really well. Two great goals. And yesterday they have a bit of a scare towards the end on Gallon, but they're obviously playing good stuff at the minute.
I know Glenavon are in the mix there. Do you back a team out of those four to get it? It's hard to really have too much of a passionate opinion that Carrick will do it just based on they've lost to Newry, lose to Dungannon away from home. They've had the opportunities. Add in 6 points there and they are sitting pretty nice, 4 points ahead of, or 5 points ahead of Loch Awe with three games to go, but they're still chasing. So they've actually got big games against Glenavon and Loch Awe and a Newry team who always seems to have their number and are dying to win out.
Of those teams you're talking about, it's really hard to pick one because they're all so inconsistent. Like Glenavon, up until recently, up until this weekend, looked as if we'd switched off for the season. We looked at, like, from the League Cup debacle against Portadown, we have just switched off completely. You talk about how inconsistent Carrick are. Loch Awe obviously lost to Ballymena this weekend. They're not consistent either. I don't know. I genuinely couldn't pick one out of the four of them, that we're talking about here. Dungannon Swifts as well. Who could finish seventh? I don't know.
Kind of like the Swifts here, but maybe I'm just getting really excited about a first half of football at home where they score. It's great to say they rush into a 3-0 lead and they've got nice little players. Like they just keep producing these fast wide men who can do bits and score goals. And Tomas Galvin, Andy Mitchell's there to lead the line a wee bit. I think if they get A victory this weekend would put them on 38 points, not even considering what the other results around them will be. I think with Rodney and the talent they have there, I think they could go on the run to do that. I could look very foolish come next weekend, but I think they have a chance to have the momentum, push up from the back and do it. Outside of that, like I really like Loch Awe, but they're safe now, and losing to Balmain at home isn't great. Their home form in particular hasn't been excellent, and it's all pride. Carrick seemed to blow it, and then I just don't know. With Glenavon, like they beat the worst team in the league at home eventually, 3-2. How will that look, knowing that seventh is just it's just kind of something for the history books.
See, to be honest, I don't think we were that wonderful yesterday either. Second half, I thought we were the better team. So I don't think we'll finish seventh. And as you say, we don't need to finish seventh this season because what's in it for us? Carrick would probably like to finish seventh, but can they do it? Maybe they're so good or inconsistent against the bottom six. You could be right with Duncannon. Duncannon could be a good shout.
Championship, let's talk about it. They added their own little bit of spice to the weekend there. The last time we were talking, we were waiting these games on Tuesday night, where Portadown were able to win 3-0 against Bangor to extend this winning run that they were on. Okay, it's over now, and it's over in dramatic fashion. Dundella, they were playing against Anna United. They lose at home. Glorious day for Portadown. Institute drew to the Welders. So Portadown are on this massive high. They're top of the table going into Saturday. Maybe for the first time this season. I can't even really remember them ever being top. They've got four games to go, all in their control, all at home. Up come Anna United to Shamrock Park. And really, all Portadown need to do is win, and they're looking great going into the final few games. Draw wouldn't do them any harm either. And they got thumped. 4-0, they were behind at one point, and they are pretty much saved from being knocked off their perch at the top by Institute winning against Dundee at Wilger Park in another thriller in its own right. 4-3, dreadful week for Dundella, but they're still in it, only a point behind it. And Institute are looking pretty. And even Bangor, after losing three in a row with that massive goal difference that they have over everybody else, they are still in the mix. This championship is exciting, thrilling, everything else in between. It threatened to maybe whimper away at the weekend, but it came roaring back saying, "We've got a twist for you, football fans," and I think a lot of people are going to be keeping their eyes on that, as so much other things in the top flight are sewn up. Because there's so many unique storylines. You've got Institute, Northwest team, almost relegated from the league last year. Bangor, a Phoenix club coming from the Ballymena leagues a few years ago. Dundella finding it all together despite not being able to go up, and then Portadown, this fallen giant, tripping over their own shoelaces. It's fascinating.
Fallen giant, yeah. Anyway, yeah. So I think there's two teams at the bottom of the Sports Direct Premiership who are hoping Dundella win the league for their own selfish reasons. It's been really, really interesting. There was a journalist who I'll not name who was keeping a keen eye on how Portadown were doing on Saturday in the press box at Moorview Park. And every time Anna United scored, he was getting more and more disappointed of how his afternoon was going. But like, it's been great entertainment. Portadown obviously need to get back up. And certainly from a Glenavon point of view, it makes Boxing Day a hell of a lot more interesting than what it does playing Newry. It's the fact that you've got four teams at this stage of the season who could still win that league is, a testament to the standard of football in that league. It's not a bad league. It's really, really not. It's really hard to pick who's going to win that league. I have a sneaking suspicion that Ports will do it. But of course, there's a part of it he really wants Dundella to do for the crack.
It comes to little, what you might consider minute details as well. 4-0 down at home, and they get two goals back. It ends 4-2, and that's actually important because, from a goal difference point of view, to win 3-0 against Bangor, to then lose, get that cleared out and then minus one. They bring it back. Their goal difference, like I'm talking about points here, where Bangor 63, Institute 65, Dundella 66, Portadown 67. You then go to goal difference. Bangor 31, clear leaders. That's like a little mini point in their back pocket. Institute's 18, Dundella's 17, Portadown's 20. So those two goals, even though they were scored in vain, that still could be pivotal come the end of the season. Many people predicted Dundella falling away, a draw and two losses, particularly those two losses at home. Detractors will point to that and go, there it is. This is them falling away. But after having such a great season so far and having garnered so many points against the top teams is what they've really built this foundation on. You can't really rule them out or suspect this to go on, because there's only three games to go and every single victory is like a six-pointer.
Yeah. I'm just trying to look at the fixtures for Saturday. Like, Dundella play Bangor. That's a big game. Institute.
Bangor win that game, they overtake Dundella.
Yeah. It's bonkers. It's absolutely bonkers.
You know, on goal difference.
Yeah. Portadown away are home to the Welders. Like, the Welders, you know, are a good side. You know, wouldn't say Portadown get it easy in that game.
The Welders will want to put a whole cellar of salt in everybody's soup. You know, they will enjoy the misery that they inflict. And they very much inflicted against Institute on that Tuesday night game. And then the other story here is that it does seem like it is ultimately too late. But Annie United actually have been on this slowly and quietly, been on this mad run since January. And they're on 61. Like, the craziest twist in all of this would be Annie United winning three games of, winning all their final five games. And maybe sneaking a playoff. Like, they've got 61 points. The most amount they can get is 70. So a victory for Portadown would put that to bed. But it looks pretty much impossible, because Dundella has to play Bangor still. Portadown has to play Institute and Dundella. So it's unlikely that they're probably the biggest Portadown fans in the world. Let them beat everybody else and then Anna can try and go for it. So that'll be the craziest twist in all of this. But they all just come from different angles. Like, everyone has this unique story to them.
Yeah, it's great. Again, I was talking about, you know, how good it is for the league to have this competitive title challenge in the Premiership, but I think this is equally as important. You know, and I think there is a lot of interest in what way this is going to turn out, because a lot of people in East Belfast, you know, be keeping an eye for Dundella, you know, obviously down here in Mid-Ulster, we're keeping an eye on how the Ports are doing. And then up to Northwest, you've got Stute as well, and how they're getting on, a Bangor, the unknown quantity, how they're going to do. It's great. It's great to see. And I really hope that it does come down to the last day of the season for both title challenges.
Big, that'll be the massive Friday night, because that's happening the Friday night before all the games in the top flight. And no matter what happens, something will be on the line there, even if one of these teams do go on a run. The scenario, I don't know if people have seen it, because it actually took me a while to try and figure out what it was, but people were mooting that there is a situation where a team, it would be in their benefit to actually lose a game based on this Dundella situation. And what that situation would be is if Portadown, because Portadown play Institute at Shamrock Park, final night of the season. Dundella play against the Welders. The Welders are unlikely to roll over in that game, you'd say, and give Dundella the title. There's a situation where, let's say, Institute are sitting in third and Bangor aren't able to overtake them. Portadown are ahead of Dundella. If, let's say, Institute were to beat Portadown and Dundella were then winning and overtook Portadown, but Institute's win wouldn't be able to overtake Portadown, that would then knock Institute out of the playoff. But if Portadown were to win, Institute still remain in third, they would then get the playoff. So they would actually be, if there is a fantasy scenario here, where it could be on the final game of the season in Institute's interest to not win because of how it would play in the table. Isn't that fascinating and also slightly upsetting?
It is. And I'm just sort of thinking to myself, if there's a scenario here where we have Dundella obviously still in there, Bangor still going there, and Portadown obviously looking to win the league. And United host Bangor the last game of the season, and just up the road, Portadown are hosting Institute. It's going to be a crazy, crazy night.
Also, fun fact that I heard, I'm going to give Gareth Hanna the credit here of your parish. Portadown get beat by Annie United, and there was something like six or seven ex-Portadown players in the Annie United squad. That isn't fun to see your players go out and do well and win against you. So yeah, I had a random message from somebody like go privately to the podcast saying, "Meh, you don't talk enough about the championship." And I'm thinking this year we absolutely are because of all the drama and intrigue and everything on the line. I think you nailed it there, Michael. Everybody, no matter what team you support, there's something to lock in on here, and there's a narrative. I think everybody in the top flight, if you're a fan, you've all picked a team, be it you want Bangor to win out because you haven't seen them around for a while and they're ascension, something to get behind. Institute being this quote unquote rural non-Belfast team, them coming on their way up, especially after not doing well last season. Dundalk, plenty of people have a lot of affection for them. And I bar Portadown fans, I don't think anybody is pulling for Portadown unless maybe you're looking for a better away gates for your club. That's pretty much it. I think everybody is enjoying a bit of Schadenfreude when it comes to Portadown. Although something I also saw online, that game on Tuesday night, Bangor Portadown, over 1,200 people there.
Yeah, I'm being amazing attendance at that game. Yeah.
So they're all fighting to be in the top flight so that they can be discussed in the final section of this podcast, as it is every week, the preview for the weekend. We'll start Friday night. Upsetters Crusaders host Linfield Baxter's final game against Linfield. He would love to make it two for two and rub it up them and get a victory at home. Nobody likes to lose the Linfield, especially Crusaders. We all get to watch it via the stream. Difficult fixture for Linfield. They all are, but
Yeah, it is a tricky one. I just think Linfield have enough quality about them at the minute to get a result in that game. And obviously, they're the chasing team. They will have a desire to go and win that match. For me, I'm going to call that a Linfield win.
I am going to say 1-1. I was slightly alarmed by the lack of Linfield's attacking threat there on Saturday. They obviously scored quite a lot of goals against Glentoran, and Crusaders look sharp enough against Larne. I am going to go for 1-1 between those two, which then sets up Larne playing against Cliftonville. Half five once again. We all get to watch it go down against Cliftonville at Inver Park. It's the 18th time these teams have played in the last 5 days. We have one win for Cliftonville. We have one win for Larne. How will it play out when it's at Inver Park, their third different venue in the past week and a bit? I think Larne will react. I think we'll get the victory here. I'm going to say 2-0.
Yeah, I think with Cliftonville keeping one eye now in the cup final, we talked about this earlier, they probably will rest a player or two here or there. I'll go with Larneman as well.
It all depends what the first 60 minutes for Cliftonville will be. If they're sitting winning, brilliant, but I can't see Cliftonville win this late on. I know that's what Crusaders did. I think after 60 minutes and it's nil-nil, Cliftonville will go, job done here. On comes the children, and we'll see what they can do. And then Larne will have the bit between their teeth, the intent, and I think that's where it'll be key. The last 20 minutes where it will be key. And as much as Cliftonville don't want to lose to Larne, I think that Larne will have the vigour to do it. Final game of the top half, Coleraine against Glentoran. I'm just back in Coleraine here. They've made the showgrounds, insert cliche, a fortress recently. They did Larne. They absolutely did Linfield up there. And I think they could get a result against Glentoran. I am going to say just 1-0, actually.
I fancy a Corian win in that one as well. I just don't think Glentoran are that good this season. Corian, as you say, have got momentum at the moment, and the home advantage as well probably swings it for them too. So yeah, I'll go Corian as well.
Carrick Rangers host Ballymena. Carrick will want to push on and react to that game against Dungannon. But Ballymena, they're feeling a bit better about themselves. They are usually better away from home this year. A win here would all but, if it hasn't already, all but secure automatic safety for Ballymena. I'm trying to think of the term here. Yeah, it pretty much avoid 12th, I would say. Not technically, but it just feels like it would. I am actually going to say nil nil.
I fancy a draw in this game too, but I was going to say a score draw. Yeah.
For my Danny Gibson fancy football stock, I would love the goals, and we I hope and I tried I wished it into existence last week where we had all these 3-2 ding dongs. I'm happy to predict 3-2 across the board here if it could happen, or 4-4 or whatever, and this maybe could be it, but I just have a suspicion maybe nil-nil.
Yeah, I think. For both teams have got goals in them. Ballymena maybe less so, but I just think at the minute they have something to play for. A point here could be crucial for them. I'm going to go with score draw.
Loch Awe host Glenavon. I mean, it's a bit of a dead rubber when it comes to just what's on the line here. Loch Awe were able to squeeze by Glenavon only a couple of weeks ago there. Are we going to say a 2-2? Like, Loch Awe like to score goals, but they're pretty good at conceding them as well. Do Glenavon have the firepower to go round for round with Loch Awe?
Well, I mean, we seem to be scoring a few more goals. I mean, we scored three on Saturday, which was not like us given our recent form. We're just too consistent at the minute. I really don't know what Glenavon will turn up on Saturday against Loch Awe. I'll take a point right now in that game. And I'm sure Loch Awe will be happy enough with that too.
Newry and Dungannon, so much on the line here for Newry. If they didn't feel as though they were fighting for their lives last weekend, they will absolutely be gunning for it here against the Swifts. The Swifts who have found their shooting boots, their scoring boots. Newry City would like to have a wee lend of them. They did knock into themselves last weekend. Must win for Newry, as pretty much every game is. I did think they would get a result against Glenavon, and they didn't. But they still pulled in a performance. I can see them being a tough enough test for the Swifts, and being at Newry Showgrounds, I mean, we're expecting them potentially here to win their first game at home since October 2022. So I saw a bit of reaction against Glenavon. I'm gonna maybe give them a bit more of a love here, and I'm gonna say Newry City could win this 2-1.
I would like to see a Newry victory, obviously. I have to say that. Otherwise, my office would burn to the ground. But I just have a feeling that Dungannon, given that they are, as we talked about earlier, now pushing for a playoff place, might have too much. And they have, some good players, the likes of Mitch, Keane Dillon, as we said, scored those two great goals this week. I just have a horrible feeling for Newry that this might be the game that leaves them feeling like this is it's over. I'm going to go for Dungannon, a tight Dungannon win, I think.
Well, as we alluded to earlier, it would very much be, well, every team wants to win a game, but they still have a fighting chance of seventh. So they'll be pushing all their chips in here between now and the end of the season to maybe extend their season beyond just the split. And that's our situation going into game week 35. Michael, I've asked a few people here, and we are approaching award season and all the rest. You still are backing Larne. You're still probably suggesting Ballymena stay away from the automatic drop zone.
Yeah, they got where I'm at the minute anyway, yeah.
From a player point of view, we're only a couple of weeks away from the Northern Ireland Football Writer Award. I know there's different people do the Ulster Football of the Year, all that type of stuff, but looking at that, where they'll have their awards for Player of the Year and Young Player of the Year, etc., who would you give it to if it was an academy of one for Player of the Year, and who would be the other two if there is other two that you feel deserve to be in little nomination category?
That's a very good question. I actually don't know. I have been so wrapped up this last while in my own little Glenavon world, where we have been so poor this season that I haven't really been looking at anybody else. And we even had a discussion in our supporters club about who was going to be player of the season this year, and we couldn't pick anybody. So I suppose you're looking at Lauren Linfield there to see who.
Well, Well,
I
Lee
do
Bonus
want.
has scored quite a lot of goals against Glenavon.
I was going to mention Lee Bonus because Lee seems to save his best performances for Glenavon. So, given what I've seen this season, I suppose we'll have to give it to Lee. Yeah.
Well done, Lee Bonus, for the best player against Glenavon this season. I actually had.
He'd love that award too.
He'd like to win that every year.
Yeah.
As Glenavon try and throw 10 grand at trying to purchase the rights to his leg. For, I, this entered my head, Michael, before we end this podcast. If Nuri was to go down, who would whoever go up, no matter who they are, would they automatically be your Boxing Day game? So would Institute be your Boxing Day game, or would you give custody of that to Dungannon? Like, would Bangor potentially be your Boxing Day game?
I was trying to work this out one day recently, and
Because
I think
Dungannon used to be the and other, but right now, Loughall and Dungannon have been linked up, and how locked in is that?
they would. I think they would be the temporary mid-Ulster Derby, and we would have to go to whoever comes up.
The mini Ulster Derby.
Yeah. So you're. Yeah, potentially we could be away at Institute, which would be a great Boxing Day trip. I'll have great fun trying to explain to the wife that, yeah, I'm away for the day. I'm leaving the 12 and I'll not be back till God knows when.
Or Bangor, you could go there as well.
Bangor's all right because at least you can get the train to Bangor.
You make it sound like a big lush day trip down to Bangor on a
Yeah.
very cold December 26th. I don't think
We
the train times would be excellent on Boxing Day, I
could
must.
do you could do Lurgan to Bangor in an hour and a half. Drumahoe, or I suppose they're not playing Drumahoe anymore, sure or not. So slightly longer away trip.
Yep.
So
Of course, you could host it and be like, "Hey, everybody, round to ours for marshmallows and tea."
yeah, but I mean, particularly if it was Stute, are we talking about inviting the Stute fans to my house for Boxing Day?
You can invite Carson and the Institute faithful down, you know.
Yeah, aye, they're more than welcome. No, listen. Yeah, there is that sort of side of it. Boxing Day wasn't great this season with Newry either. It's the one aspect, you know, of Portadown being relegated that you do miss a good, decent Boxing Day clash against your big rivals. But at the same time, there's not one Glenavon fan out there who, and the shoe would be on the other foot. I'm not saying anything that, you know. Poor fans wouldn't think the same if it was Glenavon who were in the championship. It is a wee bit funny seeing them down there, but yeah, they're doing okay. They're doing okay.
It is that rivalry, isn't it? The Glenavon Portadown one, where there is still a bit of jest and still a bit of niggle in it, compared to some other ones. But no, I've asked you to wear your editor's hat for most of this and reflect on the rest of the league. You know, I guess my final, and I promise my final question now is, we on this podcast will do our season wrap ups, and eventually we'll be talking about what happens next season. What should we be thinking about from a Glenavon point of view? Is it reset and go straight back for challenging for seventh again? Whatever it is, coaching badges permitting. What is it? Do you think next year will be a season of small steps rather than big ones? What's the expectation and feeling in Morne land?
That's a very good question because I'm quite worried about next season. Not just on the pitch where we have to do a lot of resetting off the pitch as well. We've got a number of members of our board who are stepping down. Adrian Tyrrell is chairman, obviously, as well. A lot of people in key positions leaving the club, or well, not leaving the club, but stepping down from their roles. There'll be changes in the structure of the board. There's an EGM being held at the end of this month to discuss those, and then the actual AGM in May. Nobody knows what's really going on in terms of. I'm led to believe that the structures would see an executive committee of five, which would be chairman, vice chairman, treasurer, commercial, and I think possibly the academy as well, which isn't a bad thing actually. They deserve to have their place on the board. But it's who's going to fill those positions and who's going to step onto the board to help out, because it's a difficult ask for the board of directors that I have at the minute. There, I am of the opinion that the club's gone a wee bit stale. It needs new life, and that's nothing against the people who are on the board at the minute. They have a tough job to do. Something needs to change, but it needs to be a change for the better. Otherwise, the playing side of things is going to be affected too, obviously, because you're going to need investment, whatever else.
I was chatting to Johnny McNabb a couple of weeks ago, and he was saying that there's going to be a couple of players out of contract, and they could see decent enough changes. And Corrine, Glentoran is very much the same. There's going to be a big exodus if some of those players don't sign on. Are we expecting something similar at Glenavon, where there's some big names that, well, we already know won't be there, or a few question marks over?
I'm not aware of who won't, anybody who will or won't be there, to be quite honest. The thing was as well, a lot of the players that we signed, I think a few of the players we signed in January might have been short term. Certainly Hodgson's was a loan deal. I'm not sure what the crack was with the rest of the guys, to be honest, that came in. Some of them were short deal. Dean wasn't, I know he's hanging around. There were players coming out of contract as well from the, let's say, the Hamilton era. They're like, so I think possibly.
So it looks to be evolution rather than revolution at the minute.
Yeah, so I think for McDonald, this is going to be a big summer transfer window, so he can sort of put his stamp on the squad and start afresh. Money needs to be there, the investment needs to be there. The off-field stuff sort of feeds into the on-field stuff, so it's going to be an interesting summer going.
If there's going to be bingo as a listener to this podcast over the next few weeks, and maybe extended on months until we get to the January transfer window, my gut tells me that I think this could be the summer of changes, where we see lots of movement and a lot of players who we never expected to be playing for another club. And it's that whole, that's really weird seeing player X in this strip. And I think Coleraine and Glentoran are going to be key to that, and then how that filters down. I think Glenavon are one of those teams where, do they push forward to try and get back to where they believe they were? There's clear areas which they'll want to improve. So there's spots. I look at Carrick and I go, there's some spots there, but you have that spine of Gibson and others. And maybe there will be big changes to Carrick, but I can just see a lot of change. And what Glenavon do, I think, will definitely be something. They'll be the thermometer for me. They'll be the temperature check on who's coming in and who's potentially leaving. So yeah, big summer ahead, but of course we've got a lot of football to play before we can get into that shenanigans. But Michael, always a delight to have you on. Yeah, where can people find out your works?
Yeah, well, thanks for having me. Always a pleasure to be on. So obviously the Near Reporter, we have our own website now, nearreporter.com. We've also recently launched a podcast. Kieran Lynch and Liam Ingram do that on a they did it two we're doing 2 a week now. The guys are quite busy with that. So the one out on the Tuesday, which looks at the weekend's action, and one out on a Thursday, which previews the week coming weekend's action. And that's not just football, it's GAA, it's even darts and pool, and this week I believe American football. So get on, that's on Spotify, and then newreporter.com for the latest breaking news, and then of course the Chronicle as well. Bamber's Chronicle's out every week, and you can find stories from it on northernirelandworld.com.
Excellent. Until next time, Michael, I'll chat to you soon.
Beautiful.
There's like a feeling that I have where it's a bit like that Slade song, isn't it, Slade? Where I want it to be the split every day or every weekend, because so far after the first game week, it's just thrilling. It's exciting. It's so much on the line. I know that realistically it's only worth it. It's only this brilliant because we've went through what's actually been a great season of Irish League football, went through it all, and this is the bit at the end. This is the bottom of, is it Knickerbocker Glory that has the little bottom thing at the bottom of the ice cream? I don't know. I know some people like the base of cheesecake, some people like, I don't know, the top end of some desserts, tiramisu, whatever. This is like the little good bit that you save. This is the nice bit of steak right now that you've kind of cut round waiting for it. By Jove, is it delivering? And I'm sure if you are as transfixed to these last few games as I am and as I will be, I know you want to be locked in to everything this podcast does. I know you hear me talk about it every week. You can follow us here on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. It's Kicking Match on all of them. You want to make it a wee bit different, change it up. You want to don't know, listen to this on your smart speaker, you can do that. You just got to say, hey, smart speaker, or whatever name you call it, please play Kicking Match, an Irish League podcast. You sell that, it will give it to you. And finally, I'm almost at like a nice, another little marker on this. So I appreciate it. It makes me happy and it's free. I am, of course, talking about being a follower or a subscriber to the podcast on either whatever your player is, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. I've seen even Google Podcasts. I'm getting followers there. Just go to the homepage of Kicking Match on your preferred player. Find the wee button, the wee wheel. It's different, everyone. Hit follow, hit subscribe. It's free and you get the most up-to-date information about this podcast. You don't have to wait or scroll and see if it's up. You'll get a notification saying he has done it. What a week. What a month we've got ahead of us. Thank you for listening. Until next time. Enjoy your week. Cheerio.